going to read something. It's not in my notes. For a second, out of Romans. Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And he who serves God Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men." I just felt led to read that in case you're wondering about what was going on earlier. That we can serve him in gladness. We can serve him in joy in the Holy Ghost. And you know, it's really amazing. It's really exciting that we can serve that and that we have a peace and a joy when as we serve him. And that it's pleasing to him to serve him. You know, one time I was challenged. I was listening to a fella online, and he said something about, if you're a believer and you feel tired, then maybe you're missing your joy. Because it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that challenged me. I was like, oh. Because especially when you're having one of those days, and it's like, oh. It's like the Lord spoke to me and said, okay. So it means I need to get back into the joy of the Lord to get my strength. Amen. So I'm just going to share a little bit tonight on healing and the anointing. You know, when Pastor asked about sharing, because he's been talking about healing last week he started. And then he was talking about the anointing before that. And you know, sometimes you can have so much when you're studying that you're kind of going around, and I'm going to land in a second, and it'll be okay, and so it'll be all good. And I love serving God, I really do, and I love having the honor when Pastor asked me to share that. It's an honor for me that he trusts me to come up here and just to do this, and I think it's awesome. So I'm going to pray for a second. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can come into your presence. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come here. We can receive a word from you, Father, Lord, a word that will change our lives, a word that will increase our faith, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. And Father, we just thank you for that, Lord, that we can bring you glory and we can bring you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. And I was watching Marty Blackweller last a little while. And I noticed that when he takes a drink, he does this, because I know I drink a lot. And so if you see me doing that, it's so you don't hear the bottle. So, and I thought, why do you see? You always learn something when you're watching these guys. So, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 12:1 for a second. I'm just going to go over a little bit of a review, and then we'll get into a couple of points here. 1 Corinthians 12:1, and it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." I want to look at the first part where it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." Now, I know that in the Hebrew, it's actually "now concerning spirituals, brethren." And I think Pastor talked on it a couple weeks ago, and he said that that it's the gift, and there's 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But I like when Paul says, "I will not have you be ignorant." That you know you were carried away. Before you got saved, you were carried away by dumb idols. Dumb, not meaning stupid, but dumb meaning mute. Can't hear nothing. So I like that because it says that before I got saved, I had idols that kind of spoke to me, but not with an audible voice. They were quiet, but they spoke to me and led me astray. None of us are perfect, but with me, before I got saved, I was not the nicest man and different things, but these things led me astray, took me away from serving God until I got saved. But the aspect is, when he says that there was dumb idols, now I have a God that speaks, amen? And that's the beauty of the fact that we have spirituals, so that when you have somebody who can speak under the anointing or speak by the anointing or prophesy, or when we speak in tongues, that we can be led by hearing God speak. Not that we're led by prophets, we're led by the Spirit of God within us, but like Pastor said, it can be a confirmation. If somebody wants to prophesy over you, it'll confirm something that's already been placed within your spirit. Amen. But it just shows you, to me, that this means that God still speaks. That God still speaks. This is first and foremost. Amen. But that God still speaks. But when we look at the fact that he says that the Holy Spirit came upon us, that I'm just going to go through these scriptures. You don't have to put them up. But Numbers 11:29, it talks about the increase, or talks about spiritual gifts and being filled with the Spirit, that even Moses yearned for that day. He said, oh, that I can't wait and look forward to the day when God puts the Spirit upon people. Joel prophesied about it, that it would happen, Joel 2:28, that it says it came to pass afterwards. So being filled, or being overflow, or being having the Spirit come upon you is very important to God, that he wants us as believers that we don't just get saved and then sit. Come to church, go home, go to church, go home. Read our Bible, which is good, but that there's something more. There's something more. The Spirit of God on the inside of me will change my character. It'll change me from the inside. The Spirit of God upon the outside of me is what gives me charisma. That's what gives me the dunamis power. That's what gives us the ability to go forth and do these things. But I'm just going to look a little bit on a couple of things here. That the anointing is for all believers. I'm going to go through this quickly. It's like a review of what pastors already spoke on. Like he said, the Old Testament has certain offices, but the Holy Spirit for us in the New Testament is that we are all kings and priests. We are all part of the priesthood. The anointing is for all of us. It's not that, okay, you know, this person's a prophet and this person's a king and this person, but we are all anointed. You know, at one time it was certain tribe. It was a tribe of Levi. They were anointed to be Levites. And then there was the one king. But now we are all anointed to be filled, overflowing with the Spirit of God. And that's the amazing thing, is that the word says that we are to be being filled with the Spirit of God. Because life helps us to leak, right? You get into prayer, you get excited, whatever. You come out to church, you know, you get out of church and you all hear good things. You go out in the parking lot and it's like, oh, starts to leak. Monday, leaks a little bit more. And that's why we are to be being filled with the Spirit of God. And it's exciting because the anointing is for all of us. Not the fivefold ministry, but the anointing is for all of us. It says in 1 John that we are all anointed. 1 John 2:27, it says, "But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you." Abideth. It lives in you. It's continually living in you. The day you got saved, the anointing moved in to you. The day you got saved, well, I don't feel like it. Doesn't matter. The day you got saved, he's living and abiding. He's dwelling within you. We are the tabernacle of God. When the veil ripped, it wasn't so that God could get out, because God's omnipresent, but it was so that we could go in. It says that the veil ripped, 4-inch thick veil ripped from top to bottom. The moment Jesus gave up the ghost, the moment he died. And it's not just so that God could move out, but it's so that we could move in. The amazing thing is that when you get filled with the Spirit of God, and people say, oh, I feel his presence. And I say the same thing, but it's not a very proper thing to say, because whether I feel his presence or not, he's still present. That's the thing. That's why sometimes it feels like we leak, but he is still present. He is still indwelling in us. He is living in us. He is there, sitting within us. And it's amazing that he's there. Like Pastor said, when you do something, he's there. When you sin, he's still living with you. But that's why there's conviction will come. That's why sometimes these things will come. That's where the leak comes. So you got to keep being filled and getting into the word and prayer and stuff. But it says that, and you do not need that anyone teach you. Don't take that out of context. We still need a pastor, amen. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and it is not a lie, just as it has taught you. But the anointing lives in you. It means that when pastor's saying something, and he's preaching, or sometimes, you know, pastors are going like a little rabbit trail, they say, nothing to do with the notes. And you're like, oh, he's speaking to me, or he's reading my mail. That's what that means. He's teaching you something. The Holy Spirit is not a cleanser. He will not come and cleanse you. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. It's renewing our mind with the word of God that changes our thought. But the Holy Spirit will bring conviction and say, this is where you need to work on. This is what you need to do. Because he indwells within each and every one of us. And that's why it's exciting when you come to church and somebody's sharing something and you get excited. And you're like, yeah, yeah. Or you get, oh, I need to change that. And that's okay. When you hear something and you feel like, oh, it's like, you know, when you do something wrong and mom gets a call from the school. Dave, I need to talk to you. And you're like, oh. Because you knew you did something wrong. It's the same thing. It's a correction that comes to make us better. Amen. Not to make us righteous, because we already are righteous. But it will make us more holy, because it says that, be holy as I am holy. But the thing is, the anointing that abides within us, and it is in each and every one of us. And the exciting thing is that he lives and dwells and abides in us. Even when you don't think he's there, he is still there. He has not vacated the premises. Sometimes we do things and I don't feel like he's there. It doesn't matter. He's still there. And that's why I think it's great when the word says that the anointing is within us. He's there. Even when you feel, you know, you don't feel 100% when it comes to healing, I'm already the healed, trying to fight for my healing. I don't necessarily have to get healed. I already am healed because the healing comes from within. We already are prosperous. Not waiting to get prosperity, but sometimes the enemy will try and attack our prosperity, so we got to stand. You know, it's Genesis 39 or 29, 39 I think, 39, it says that Joseph was a prosperous man. That's when he was at Potiphar's house as a slave. But the Bible says he was already prosperous. But he's a slave, but he's prosperous. But you know what? Because that prosperity that was there, it came out of him. And Potiphar's like, there's something about this guy. I see that God is with him. And that's the beautiful thing. It's not just prosperity about money. But when you get into a situation and you have peace, because the Lord lives within you, he abides within you, the anointing is within you. So you know that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Right? You know that the whatever the COVID or whatever sickness and disease, that all that stuff cannot come on me because he already dwells within me, and he'll tell me things. And that's the thing, is that we already are the healed. Amen? We already are the prosperous. We already are the free. We already are the redeemed. And the biggest thing is sometimes we don't feel like it. And that's one of the other aspects about the anointing, is the anointing will teach you who you are so that you know who you are. Because God already knows who you are. Amen? He already knows that you will rule and reign, it says in Romans, that you will rule and reign with Christ. So you're a king. And that's what we got to realize, is that we already are kings. When the Bible says that he is king of kings, it's not a governmental thing. It means he is king of kings. He's king. And we are the other kings and queens, that he is the king of kings. And that's us, that he is our king. But I rule and reign in my life. It doesn't matter what people say. I rule and reign in my life. Amen? It's up to me. I can't blame anybody when I'm not doing something. I can't blame anybody if my life falls apart. It's up to me. Like, you know, we learn about attitude here, and we've learned about different things, and it's up to us, amen? But he has to give us power, and we learn to walk in that. In Luke 4:14, it says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And it says that he returned in power. This is after he went into the wilderness. Sometimes it seems like we're in the wilderness, and it's not a matter of going into the wilderness and going, oh. He already was tempted of the enemy, right? After the temptation, it says that he came out in power. That word power is dunamis. That's the Spirit upon us. He came out in power. And that's like we have to. If we get into a situation, we have to do what Jesus did. In Luke 4, turn there for a second. I like that because it talks about, well, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this is where he was tempted of the three different things. You know, the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points, not tempted the same. He wasn't married, so he couldn't be tempted with adultery. He wasn't married. Right? But he was tempted in all points like we are. So we know that if he was tempted in all points and overcame, how do we do the same thing? It says that when he was tempted, it says, and the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded of the mouth of God. Then it says again, then the enemy tempted him again, saying, the Bible says. And Jesus said, well, it is written. Well, we got to realize this, what it is written. So part about when you fill up and you want to keep being filled and you're praying in tongues is get into the word. Whatever your situation is, when the enemy says you're poor, you say, it is written. The word says that Deuteronomy 8:18 works for me. He gives me the power, the ability to get wealth so I may establish a covenant. When you give and it's your last $10 that you have and the Lord says, give it, And the enemy says, well, yeah, you're going to be broke tomorrow. Luke 4:38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour in your bosoms. When you get to the point where you're thinking, you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, I can't go to work today. Like Brother Hagin said, the Lord said to him, a healed man doesn't stay in bed. Well, I don't feel healed. What's the word say? By his stripes I am, past tense, healed. A lot of times, and I've shared that before, a lot of times I'm not feeling 100%. And you ask my wife, I'll get up, drag myself to work, and usually within half an hour, all the symptoms are gone. Because my body, this says your body has to line up to the word of God. And that's where the anointing, what's beautiful about it is when the anointing's on you, is that it helps to draw that which is in you out. And so what we have to do, what we have to learn, is that it gives us power to walk in what the word says. So when you feel like you're going through something, just continue to walk. And like what's the saying say, if you're going through hell, don't stop, just keep on going. You know? Well, he gets in the boat. He says, let's go to the other side. He goes to sleep. Storm comes. And, you know, with me, I think me and Kathy were talking about this the other day. It's like, these were fishermen. I don't think it was a normal storm because they were fishermen. If the skies didn't look good or something didn't look right, four of them at least were fishermen. You think they would have saw something. It says a storm arose. When he gets up and he rebukes the wind, the amazing thing is it's the same word he used when he rebuked the devil. Same word. So we know that God didn't bring the storm because the Son would never rebuke something that the Father brought. And what you got to realize with part of that is when people say, God is testing me by putting sickness upon me, that doesn't make sense. Because by his stripes I'm healed. So if by his stripes I'm healed, Isaiah 53, 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I'm healed. The Father can't put sickness on me if the Son's already brought healing for me. It's a contradiction. It's a contradiction. Yeah. Right? This is one of the things that we, you know, teach in healing school. I've seen it. And you ask my wife, when we go to the Christian bookstore that's not here, and we go to the one that's at, you know, Duluth, and don't get me wrong, they got some good, great authors, but there's books. And if I'm not sure about an author, I'll start reading a name. And she'll see a look on my face. She'll say, put it back. Because I start getting mad. I'm like, who buys this? Sorry. Jesus put sickness on me to teach me a lesson. Well, isn't that amazing? Because I'm taught by the Holy Spirit. Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes. There's anointing in me to teach me a lesson. Not sickness and disease, not poverty, not going through stuff like that. I'm taught a lesson because the Spirit of God's upon me and it lines up with the Word of God. Amen? And that's what teaches us, is the Holy Spirit. And so that's one of those things that some people know, is that when people say, you know, God put sickness on you, teach you something. It's like, oh, how? So I worked with a fella, and he believed along that lines. And he's like, well, so-and-so wrote this book that God's teaching a lesson by keeping them sick. So my thing is, okay, well, even along your point, why don't they learn what they're supposed to learn and get healed? If God's teaching them a lesson, then learn what they're supposed to learn and get healed. And he was like, I said, well, and the same thing, don't take an aspirin. If you got a headache and you think God's teaching you something, don't take an aspirin. Because if you think God's teaching you something by giving you pain and you take an aspirin, you might take yourself out of the will of God. I think Pastor shared that a couple weeks ago. It's like, if I'm thinking that God's teaching me something by putting sickness on me, then why would I take an aspirin to get healed? Because God's supposedly teaching me something. That's why we're taught here that the Word of God says that by his stripes we are healed. Right? It's tied up, and it's going to go to Isaiah 53 for a second. I think, you know, I've heard Pastor teach on healing, so this might have been recently he taught on this. Sometimes, you know, you get scripture through, but I'm just going to look at Isaiah 53 for a second. Verse 4, it says, surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, we esteem him smitten, or stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So, it's going to go back to verse 4. Can you go back to verse 4 for a second? That word, surely he has borne our griefs. That word in Greek is NASA, or Hebrew is NASA, N-A-S-A. You recognize it? North American Space Agency. It means to carry away. That's where they got that from. It wasn't just an acronym, it's actually a word, NASA. He has carried away, shot away, like a rocket, our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, the next verse, let's go look at this quick. It says, wounded for our treasures, bruised for our iniquities, and chastisement of peace upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. The word iniquities is sickness and disease. That it is a sickness. He was wounded for our sickness and disease. Part of redemption and part of the part of Calvary is that our sickness and our disease and our poverty was all tied in with sin. Had Adam never sinned, he'd never get sick. Right? So when he didn't deal with sins, he didn't go to the cross for lying and stealing and cheating. He went to the cross for sin nature of man. He cut the root of the tree, right? The fruit of the tree is lying and sickness and all this stuff. He dealt with sin nature of man. The second Adam came, so it's like Adam never sinned. If Adam never sinned, he'd never get sick. Amen? So when he dealt with this, it's all tied up. That's why when they brought the paraplegic to him, and he said, rise, take your bed and walk. And they said, who is this that you know, only God can forgive sins? And he said, what is better, forgive your sins? Then he says, arise, take your bed and walk. It was the same to him. Dealing with the sin nature and dealing with sickness was the same at the cross. It's all done with. Poverty, done with. Adam would have never been in want, lack, the curse, poverty, none of that if he never sinned. So when Jesus went to the cross and dealt with the sin nature, all that was done with. So as believers, we get to walk in the fact that even though my body might be trying to fight sickness and disease, my spirit man is perfect. And I live in a realm of healing. Amen. I live in a realm of prosperity. Well, you don't look it. I'm just like Joseph. You might see me at Potiphar's house, but where am I going to be tomorrow? I already am prosperous. It doesn't matter what I was birthed into. I already am prosperous. It doesn't matter what my natural birth brought me to. I already am prosperous. I already am there. Well, it doesn't look like it. It's because you're looking in the wrong place. We got to look here. Amen? We got to look here. We got to look at what the Word says about us. And that's what we have to get into about with the anointing on us. Oh, falling behind. Ephesians 1, 19 for a second. We have to walk in what the Lord shows us. Ephesians 1, 19. Hallelujah. But this is why sometimes you'll see people get really excited. Is because you come to church, you get into a thing of worship and praise, and it's really exciting because it is, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. It doesn't matter. What we got to do is we got to keep our place as a place of thanksgiving. One of the words for praise is that we are to be, it's to be a confession. Yada, I think it is where we, to be a confession, is to speak out and to be a place that we confess what the Lord has done. You give him praise, not because you might not be there yet, but you give him praise because you are getting to a place that he's already placed you at. You know, they shouted, not when they shouted, the walls were already up, right? When Joshua went, the walls were already up. And that's why I think for the 6 days, they weren't to say nothing because we have life and death are in the power of the tongue. So as we continue to sit there and think about where we were and say, well, God's word says I'm healed, but as soon as you say but, it contradicts everything on the other side of the other side of the but. God's word says we're healed, period. Amen? God says we're prosperous, period. God says we're delivered, period. God says we're redeemed, period. I used to say that when I was still smoking. I love it when pastor says that he used to like smoking because I used to love to smoke. And that's the first time I ever heard somebody, another believer, say that. Oh, I used to love to smoke. I was talking to a guy I know today, and he's trying to quit. And I said, how's it going? He says, really good. He's got one of those e-cigarettes or whatever. And I was like, well, I didn't have one of those. And, you know, it's funny because when we got married, you had quit before we got married. When we met, we both were smoking. And like I said, she got up for prayer. Lord prayed, you know, the pastor's wife prayed for her. She was done. That was it. Yeah. Went out for prayer, went out and had a smoke. But a friend of mine said, what you got to do is every time you have one, thank the Lord that you're already set free. Thank you, Lord, I'm free from nicotine. And I was new to this, so I'm like, what are you saying? I'm free of nicotine. You know what? I woke up one day. I was free of nicotine. Life and death in the power of the tongue. Right? It says in James, when you're speaking it out, it says a small rudder turns a great big ship. You know, and I know I've seen little boats, but I've seen some of those big ones. I think, Brother Craig, is it true? It takes a long time sometimes to turn those big ships. Sometimes you have a big problem in your life. It might take a lot of speaking to turn it. Amen? It might take a lot of speaking to turn it. You know, it might take a lot to finally get set free. It might take a lot to finally get out of debt. It's easy to get out of debt if you owe $1,000. Trust me, it's harder to get out of debt when you owe $40,000. But it can be done. It can be done. It can be done because we did. You know, you talk about Hosanna, Pastor. Talk about Hosanna. And all these people singing, who remembers doing this? I'm standing on the word. Woo! Been there, done that. Throw your bills in the corner, marching around my bills. Woo! Those walls coming down. You know, people think you're a little bit crazy, but that's where my faith was at the time. Right? All it is, it's a tangent point. What do you believe? Well, I believe Pastor lays his hands on me, I'll be healed. Then ask him to lay his hands on you, but not this time. You know what I mean? But you know what I mean? It's a tangent point. Where's your faith? Jesus didn't heal everybody the same. He didn't tell everybody to be born again. He told one person to be born again. One. And we use that term. Sometimes you need to tell somebody, he's the living water. What do they need to hear? You need refreshing. When you're ministering, it's not just they need to get born again. Maybe you need to tell somebody, he's the living water, because they need a refreshing. So he told one person, drink of me, and you'll never thirst again. He told somebody else, I'm the bread of life. Right? That's why when the anointing is in you, it teaches you all things. It will teach you what to say, even while you're ministering to people. I know I missed it. Can you bring up that scripture for a second? Hallelujah. Uh-oh. The eyes of our understanding being lightened. Can you go to the next one? Ooh. Okay, can you go back one? Sorry. One more? Ah, there it is. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. One of the things about being the anointing is the fact that as you're praying, it says that you build yourself up in your most holy faith. Build yourself up. So the eyes of your understanding, Paul's writing to the church, the eyes of your understanding, what do you need understanding for? What are you studying for? What are you for? Oh, my children aren't serving God. The eyes of your understanding be made enlightened. Look for promises. The word says that if you teach them, they will not fall far from the tree. What's the promises that you need for your situation? The eyes of your understanding may enlightened, that you may want his hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What's the eyes, the understanding that you need? What I need, what Jerry need, might not be the same thing, right? But study. If you say, well, I don't need nothing right now, well, then continue to study, because at some point you're going to need healing scripture. At some point you're going to need some scripture to go out and minister to those that are out there. So that's why we have the anointing. So the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened, so that we have an understanding of what the word says in our situation at the time. Amen? We have to go where the Lord and do what the Lord shows us to do, because what I'm believing for now is different than what I was believing for 10 years ago. If I started believing for a wife now, I'd be in trouble. Okay? 28 years ago, I got saved, and I'm like, I enjoyed being married. I'd like to do it again, but proper this time. And so I met my wife at church, having a smoke, you know.
I've only been saved about a year, if that, at that time. I was righteous in God. My body hadn't caught up with my spirit man yet. And it still hasn't. Amen? But our spirit men are perfect. But my eyes and my understanding hadn't been enlightened at that point. And that's the thing, is we got to realize that the anointing is within us. Amen? So that we can walk in victory, that we can walk. You know, like it's, and I've said before, we are never to pray for victory. We pray from a place of victory. Amen? We already are the victorious Lord. We already are at the right hand of God. We already are there. So when you sit there and, you know, and God starts to move, like I'll say the same thing, but it's not that God's present, more present than he is right now. He's present now. One of us walks into the room, he's there. Amen? You know? But when his power changes, there's something, it's like his power gets strong. It's like there's something changes. It's like, whew, you know? You know, the amazing thing is that in Acts 2, it says that he poured out his spirit upon, up out of his spirit. It wasn't a simple, oop, okay, a little drop. It was an overflowing power that was poured out in the upper room. But then it's like you have a baptism of the spirit. It's like, you know, the word says that we get baptized, we get placed into the church. And then it says there's the water baptism where you get plunked into the water. But it's like, you know, when you think of it this way, I could be baptized by filling this with water and getting in and submersed, baptism. Or I could get in, then they could turn the water on and fill it up. I still get baptized. That's like the Holy Spirit when we're saved. It's like you think, well, it's not there, you know, but it's like a Niagara Falls overflow. That's what, like Acts 2, on into the atmosphere of the earth, amen? And so what we have to do is realize that there is a point where the anointing will teach us all things. It will teach us what we say. And that's what we got to realize, is we have to say the proper things, amen? And remember that it says, when the lady was going out, Elijah was talking, and her son died. Her confession was, it is well. It is well. Amen? So when you're going out, no matter what's going on, remember, it is well. Everybody stand for a second. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can sit there and realize that as we look and our eyes are opened into what the Word says, that we have a situation that the Word has the answer, that you are the answer, Father. We thank you, Lord, that your Word says that we are healed. Your Word says that we are delivered. Your Word says that we are set free. Your Word says that we are prosperous. I thank you, Father, Lord, that all we have to do, Lord, is get into the Word, and that your Holy Spirit will teach us what the Word says to bring you glory and honor. Hallelujah. So look at your neighbor and say, it is well. It is well. Doesn't matter what the enemy wants to do, it is well. If you leave here tonight, no matter what you're going through, it's like crossing over the other side. It is well. Her son was dead, and it was well. Amen? Her husband said, it's not the new moon. Why are you going to the prophet? It's not a day. It's not a Sabbath. It's not a religious thing. She said, it is well. Amen? Amen. She got what she said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's Steve.